our picture of the week at the top of the show notes is kind of fun. Although IPv6 is now celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Wow. And Vint Cerf, who was like one of the guys really lobbying hard for this for the last 20 years, he's now at Google, by the way.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, these guys were right to realize that, wow, you know, we thought that 32 bits, oh my God, that's 4.3 billion IPs. We will never need more than that. Anyway, that was like the 640K RAM ceiling.
Oh, it'll
like,
never need more RAM than that.
The Apple II had 64K. We're going to make the IBM PC. We're going to give it 640K, 10 times as much. We'll never need more than that. Well, so it is probably safe to say, certainly in our lifetimes, Leo, we will not need more than 128 bits of IP. Which
that's a big jump from 32 bits to 128 bits is a big jump.
Yeah. Again, it's difficult for our human brains to wrap ourselves around the idea that every bit we add doubles the number. So because 128 doesn't seem like, you know, it's only 96 more than 32. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's only four times more bits. But oh boy. It's 2 to the 96 times. It's 2 to the 96 internets, essentially.
It's enough IP address for every grain of sand, every molecule. Well, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, so much so that ISPs are just giving it their individual single subscribers a block of 64K IPs. It's like, here you go. This ought to be enough of your light bulbs. Anyway, so this chart on the first page, the picture of the week, is Google's measurement of IPv6 adoption.
If you squint, it looks pretty good.
Well, yes. This is, however,
it's like a hockey stick.
This is the most recent 10 years. So for the first 10 years, it was flatline. It was like, you know, you have to have another one of these charts over to the left that just shows nothing. So the bridging technologies that existed briefly, you can see a little red line that kind of was making an effort, then it kind of faded out. That was the IPv4, IPv6 bridging stuff. But now, I mean, it's doing a nice, it's not quite exponential because it ought to be accelerating more if it were. We're still showing some reluctance. So it's sort of a straight line with an exponential liftoff. But the point is, Google is measuring what they do is some small fraction of Google visitors get a little bit of extra JavaScript added to see if they're able to directly access IPv6 resources, which would indicate that they have a local IPv6 stack operating in their system. So this is a way for Google to sort of salt their followers, their users, with little probes, and that's how this chart has been developed. What's significant is that, and I don't know how on what side of this you would stand, but we are now at 10%.
That's what I mean by if you squint, the curve looks positive, but the top is only 10%.
Yeah, and in fact, one of my own personal pet peeves is graphs that are not zero based. Now this is, but it's not but they didn't set the top to 100. If they set the top to 100%,
you know why they didn't.
Yeah.
It looks stupid.
And it's you know, it's like one of the ways of lying with charts is you use non-zero based.
People do that all the time. It's terrible.
Scales. Yeah. And it completely artificially inflates the differences between things, which, you know, just sort of always seems like a cheat to me. But anyway, in this case, the shape is nice and the timing is nice. It sort of began to happen 5 years ago at the beginning of 2011. And 2012 was maybe about twice that. 2013, a little more than twice. 2012, 2014, it's accelerating. So about 2.5 times and so on. And clearly this is where we're headed. No one expects this is going to stall out or anything. But it'll be fun to see over time what the shape of this is. If it does, in fact, begin to sort of flatten as old, you know, as there are people holding out, keeping their IPv4 because it works, and not feeling the need to move. And as we know, there are countries, this is probably, it'd be interesting also to see a geographic distribution. Actually, there was one on the page that I got this from, but the map that showed the geography didn't have a key. They had like red zones and green zones, but and I looked, it's like, okay, what do those colors mean? And there was nothing shown. I didn't dig down too deeply. Our friend Simon Zarafa sent the link to me that I found this, but I'm sure what we would see is not a huge amount of geographic non-uniformity where countries that are, oh, there it is. That's the chart. Now, does that show anything? Can you see what red and green?
Green is the darker the green, the greater the deployment. Orange, which is a little too close to red for my taste, but orange is where I'm sure the Google engineers are colorblind. Orange is where IPv6 is more widely deployed, but users still experience significant reliability or latency issues connected to the IPv6 websites. And regions where IPv6 is not widely deployed and unreliable is bright red. So then there's some pink. I don't know what the pink means. But apparently the U.S. is strongest in this.
Yeah.
As well as Portugal, which has a whopping 24%. Adoption for IPv6. That's almost as much as the U.S. Greece, where apparently the drachma is strong because it's got 20%. Belgium, 44%. That's the EU talking, right? And Switzerland, which is 30%. The U.K. is a woeful 2.96%. I'm sorry, U.K. But so Canada is 7.4. Brazil is 6.5. Ecuador, bad news in the latency. See, 40 millisecond latency, 0% adoption in Botswana, and 40 millisecond latency. So there you go. Botswana is the worst. So don't go there for your V6.